Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Real Estate U University Podcast. Hey, what's up, everybody? Grant Wise jumping in live with my man, Sean Kokoska. Hopefully, I said that right.
You did, Grant. Good job.
There we go. I got it right. Dude, this guy's an absolute legend who has done some incredibly, incredibly big things. And I'm going to let him tell you all about that. But welcome to the Real Estate U University Podcast. We're pumped to have you here today. And I feel like if you're driving, you need to pull over, pull out a pen and paper, wherever you are, just be ready to take some notes, because I know Sean, he's got some valuable stuff that he's going to jump in and just pour into you guys here for a little bit. So Sean, man, thanks for being on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Grant, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So who are you? Like, let's get to know Sean a little bit. Like, who are you? Where'd you come from? What are you doing now?
Sure. So I'm the founder and CEO of Icon Coaching, and we work with real estate professionals to improve their production, their profit, and their lifestyle altogether. And really, that the company of Icon Coaching was born out of a desire, a passion, if you will, a purpose. And, you know, just to give you a little background, I grew up in Denver, Colorado, realized that college wasn't necessarily for me. I loved the art of the deal. I got into real estate sales when I was 20 years old and had two solid first years in this business back to back, meaning I wasn't coachable. I wasn't open to learning new things. I just felt my way was the right way. And as a result, I had limited thinking. I didn't think big at all. In fact, I set goals. I wanted to make $1,500 a month when I got into real estate sales. Now, granted, I didn't have a lot of responsibilities at that age. And as a result, though, I took the actions of a $1,500 a month producer, and I made around $1,500 a month. Then I attended a conference, and there's somebody up on stage doing a panel, and you know, they said they had a $100,000 commission day. It blew my mind. And at that moment, I could sense a shift within me that said, coaching, being open to accountability, being open to new ideas and new approaches. And all of a sudden I became coachable. And then it's as though somebody lit a fire underneath me. That next year I made over into the six figures. I was a buyer's agent on a team, by the way. And I think I was probably the first buyer's agent on the face of the planet. Back in those days, that model didn't even exist. Yet I was able to manipulate this $1,500 a month mindset into over $100,000 a month in commissions as a buyer's agent. And, you know, as a result, I was picked up by some of these speaking companies like iReal and iSucceed.com and the National Association of Realtors, people like Gary Keller, REMAX, Century 21, Coldwell Banker. All of them started taking notice of the production levels, and they approached me and said, can you train our agents on how to do this? So I said, absolutely. And I dove into that, and I found that stage was kind of my happy place. I got to add value to people, and people wanted to listen to me. And it was kind of ego-based at that time in my life. Oh, I ultimately took over the team, excuse me, and you know, just consistently over 250 transactions year after year after year. And so again, just on the road about 200 days a year, built a real estate team to the point that I didn't need to be there. And we're going to talk through that methodology today on how to structure your organization to move through the three phases of business development, from the I do it phase to the we do it phase after we found some income, some leverage, and we can lead with revenue, to ultimately step over that line to the they do it phase, to where you're truly a business owner instead of just a realtor with a lot of responsibility. Yet in 1999, we had our first child, and I said, I don't want to be on the road out presenting all the time. I want to be home with this little baby. I want to raise him, and I just want to be present, right? So I decided to get off the road, do that very little, and just spend time with him. Then, you know, I looked at my resources. I said, what else do I want to do? And I didn't really know much other than real estate. So the obvious line extensions were, first, Sean, go out and start a mortgage company. So I dove in. I got a mentor, a coach, somebody who could help me understand how that all worked, and launched Advocate Mortgage in late 1999. I started a title company, had the real estate team going. Then I dove into land development. It's always been a passion of mine, and new construction. So Grant, here was the idea, buddy. It was six income streams on one transaction. Okay, so they would pay me a handsome commission to represent my development company to buy the large parcels of land. Then we would get our entitlements in place. We'd pull in curb, gutter, water, sewer, and then we would sell the lots to our own building company, and we'd peel off some profit there. And we would collect a supervision fee to build the homes that exceeded our expenses. I mean, we were lean and mean. And so we made more money there. Then whether it was pre-sold or not pre-sold, the real estate company would list the home for sale, collect a commission. The mortgage company, we would offer discount points and things like that. And 99.9% of the time, our mortgage company got the loan on the deal. And then the title company would provide the insurance. So that's six income streams, yet everything we did, Grant, was above $1 million. So the chances are the buyer of one of our homes, well, they had a home they needed to sell. So then the cycle would start all over again. We would list that home for sale. The mortgage company would provide the financing to the buyer. The title insurance company would provide the insurance. Man, Grant, it worked. I mean, I'm in my early 30s at this phase of my life, and we are killing it, making millions of dollars every single month and just pouring it back in. It was really, if you've ever read the book, How the Mighty Fall, it was the undisciplined pursuit of more, which leads me to the next part of the story. So things were going so great. I mean, I'm at the top of the world. I mean, private jet trips to Vegas every other weekend, trips to Europe, going to Mexico at least once a month. I mean, it was just whatever we wanted to do, whenever we wanted to do it. And it was a lot of fun. And yet there was no real purpose. There was not a lot of fulfillment in it other than the things I could buy. And it was a little bit shallow. It was a little bit plastic as I look back upon it. And then early 2008 came along, right? And the market turned on a dime. I was in debt to the construction lenders, about $130 million, of which 30% was required cash in on my part. So you can imagine what I had to lose. And I became a short sale expert almost overnight. I mean, it was short sale after short sale. It was deeds in lieu of foreclosure. It was getting out by the skin of my teeth, literally selling everything, selling our rental property, selling our home, moving into a rental property, selling the country club memberships, even the boat. We had to sell the boat. I mean, it was, when you build something that you're really proud of, you're going to do everything in your power to save it. And in an attempt to save it, it got me out of that situation, yet it left me flat broke. And in those times, Grant, it was really painful. It was very lonely. It was a dark, cold kind of place within my own mind. At one point, I'm contemplating suicide, frankly, because it was so painful. I'm adding up my life insurance policy, saying, will my family be okay if I'm no longer around? Yet in those low moments, when you're at your lowest of lows, bud, I will tell you that you have the greatest opportunity for growth. And I look back upon my life, and of course, other than my family and having my kids and that sort of thing, I said, where have I found the most fulfillment? And that was in those moments when I was adding value to people from the stage, when I was essentially coaching and training people. And I felt that if I could learn from the best and then transfer that knowledge to individuals like me to keep them out of that desperate financial position I found myself in, plus, of course, add so much value that increases their trajectory, their profitability, ultimately their income, to allow them to spend more time with their loved ones, to take the vacations that they deserve to take, that is why I'm here. And that is the purpose. That's the why behind Icon Coaching. Yet, so I then went to work with Gary Keller. I said, who's the smartest guy in real estate these days? And of course, the Millionaire Real Estate Agent is legendary. There's never been a real estate sales training book that has sold more copies. So I went to work with him as an independent contractor, as a coach in essence. And then we developed a training program for Keller Williams called Bold. And then I was hired on at corporate, and I was hired on as what they called VP of Growth. And in 18 months, we had 387% increase in total income. And as a result, he promoted me to president of MAPS, and then ultimately had a different vision. He wanted me to go out and take these models to all other industries outside of the real estate industry. So I found myself working with companies like McDonald's and FedEx and Panasonic and T-Mobile and Genentech and a whole bunch of other companies you've never even heard about, yet applying that methodology to those companies. And you know what? It works. And what I was able to do during that span of my life is really learn from these Fortune 500 companies about their structure, their compensation models. And all the while, I'm just connecting the dots back to real estate. So as you know, my purpose now, my why, is to have a substantial impact on the business productivity and profit of all people who desire to gain that in their life. I was sitting at the table at a workshop I was doing up in Chicago for McDonald's with the president of the global services division. He said, Sean, I love the models. I absolutely love it. However, you need to understand that it takes a minimum of 5 years to have any kind of cultural impact on McDonald's. And Grant, I got to tell you, it's like the wind just left my sails, man. It didn't speak to my purpose. It didn't speak to my why. It was like, it sounds glorifying though, doesn't it? It sounds kind of sexy to say, hey guys, I was out at McDonald's yesterday presenting, right? It sounds kind of cool. Mm-hmm. There was no fulfillment in it. And so I made the decision to resign from my position as president of MAPS. And that was 14, 15 months ago now, and haven't looked back since. Started Icon Coaching just over a year ago, and it just took off like a rocket. We're having so much fun adding value and getting that fulfillment and seeing other people's trajectories and income improve day after day.
That's incredible, man. And that's an incredible story, dude. I got to say thank you so much, because it's so relatable. You know, I went into business for myself. I was on the phone earlier. I went into business for myself when I was 19, and I've been working in farms and fields since I was about 9 to 10 years old. So like, I no stranger to work. I didn't grow up though with the greatest financial guidance. I didn't grow up with the greatest financial, or not financial, but necessarily parental leadership. Nothing against my mother or father. I do love them, but I just didn't grow up with what the best, you know. I grew up in a garage and slept on the couch most of my life. And when I started doing well at 19, 20, 21, I unfortunately didn't start doing well with any idea of how to manage money and how to take care of a business and how to do those types of things. And obviously I was a young kid. I knew everything, you know. I grew up with very little money. I pocketed $186,000 by the time I was 21. I was like, I'm rich, right? So I definitely went out and did my share of made my share of poor decisions, which led to bankruptcy by 23. And I could not agree more with the notion that some of those failures are by far the greatest pieces of education that I've ever gotten. I didn't get a college education. I got a life education. It was just a little bit more expensive, but it was it was the greatest opportunity to learn and educate myself and release my pride and really dig in. And so that's awesome. I appreciate the story so much. It's beautiful to sit back and see that, hey, I'm not alone. Other people have made mistakes too, and not necessarily that you made a mistake. It was your own doing, but that you've pivot and you learn. And I think that entrepreneurship can be pretty amazing in those capacities.
Well, you know, one of the things I learned from that experience, Grant, is that you said, well, it wasn't of your own doing necessarily. And what I learned though, is to take responsibility for everything in your life, literally. And until I did that, and it took me a couple of years, I was the biggest victim on the face of the planet. There's really three ways to spot a victim, right? They blame everybody and everything for their circumstance. Dude, I was doing it, right? Second is they justify every action that they take. And man, that was me. And then third, they complain about everything in their lives. Yep. And where our attention goes, our energy flows. And since energy attracts like energy, man, if you're complaining all the time, you just get more things to complain about. Yep. And so what I did is I made that mental shift finally to take personal responsibility for everything that was going down. And when I did that, it was almost like magic. It's like things started turning around, and they started turning around quickly. I started making better decisions because I recognize I'm in the driver's seat of my own life. And it took a while to get there, yet I'm thankful for that. The second lesson I learned, by the way, if you're considering adding line extensions to your business, my input to you is get in and get out as fast as you possibly can. See, there was one project that I was working on in Golden, Colorado, just a gorgeous piece of land right on North Table Mountain and heavily desirable. I had this property under contract, and granted, I didn't even have to close on it for 90 days after getting entitlements. I had tied up that property perfectly with the agreement. And the only thing that I had at risk was my civil engineering expenses and the expenses associated with getting the entitlements in place. And so the day that I got the stamp, walked out of the courthouse, one of my competitors was there and says, Sean, I know what you're under contract for, and I will double it. So I was under contract for $3 million to buy this piece of ground. And the guy offered me $6 million because I had the stamped plans. I hadn't put a single shovel in the dirt yet. And I turned it down, Grant. Mm-hmm. I turned it down. And why? Because it was the undisciplined pursuit of more. I wanted the $8 million on the build out instead of a quick $3 million profit.
Right.
So the lesson is get in, get out as quickly as possible. And in hindsight, I would have at least sold him half the lots, right? Then I'd be playing with house chips. Yet I was just arrogant. I just I don't know how else to say it, yet when your ego gets out of control, gang, the world will figure out a way to humble you. I promise you that.
Oh, I promise you. I promise you that's how that goes down. That's 100% of the time, that's how that game ends up. It might take a month. It might take a year. It might take a decade, but you will get it. That's for sure.
No doubt. No doubt. So I'd like to kind of shift into, just structuring how to have multiple businesses or take your current job, if you will, and turn it into a business. And, I referenced earlier that I to we to they. And Grant, do you mind if I just share my screen real quick?
Yeah, that'd be great. I wanted to kind of pivot into, something I feel you're a master at. So please, share your screen here. And for those of you that are just listening to this, Sean's going to kind of talk through it, but show us what you got, man. How do you take yourself from where you were to the next level, and how can other people do the same?
Absolutely. So again, the goal is to move from the I do it phase, I'm doing everything, to engage some leverage through people to the we do it phase, and ultimately step over that line to they do it. And until we get to they do it, we don't own a business, gang. We own a job with a lot of responsibility and a lot of headache, right? So I want to walk you through this simple methodology of the ETA. Now, the ETA stands for expectation, targets, and actions. Now, the expectation is merely in my humble opinion, a better word for the word goal. See, I think that word goal is overused. And Grant, when I set a goal, it almost creates uncertainty. Like, I might not accomplish that. You know what I mean? So rather, when I set an expectation, then it shifts my mindset. It shifts my energy to the point I just simply expect it to happen. So then targets is the next phase. Targets are interim expectations that are measurable, yet they're not grounded in any singular action or activity. And then of course the A stands for actions, and those are specific measurable tasks that you or one of your teammates can take in order to accomplish the target. And when you accomplish the target, you accomplish the expectation. So let me dive into this real quick, and I'll articulate this as well as possible for those of you who are just listening. So at the top of this one-page business plan, you outline your expectation for whatever year you're in or entering into. And by the way, on a side note, I believe that you should have your business plan for the next year completed by October 1st of the previous year. The reason I say that is because what we do in business today, it doesn't show up tomorrow, does it, Grant?
No, it does not.
It generally shows up about 90 days later. So if you're not working your business plan on October 1st, well, I think you're already behind the game, yeah?
Yep.
So you'll outline your expectation. Now, off to the right, you're going to have two columns that say by who and by when, because it's about leverage. Now, when you think of leverage, I want you to think of four basic categories. The first area of leverage is leverage through models. So what I'm talking about here is your lead generation model, your lead follow-up model, your economic model, your budget model, your compensation models. And by the way, compensation is the secret sauce for retention. It's the secret sauce for getting people to act like owners, even though they do not have stock or equity in your company. And I intend to share at least one of those models with you today. The next area of leverage would be through systems. And a system to me is a standardized process that produces a consistent and predictable result, modified only for the natural behavioral tendencies of your prospect. So you do it the same way every time, and you get that consistent and predictable result. It makes the training of your staff a heck of a lot easier and faster. And when they comply with the system, well, then they'll get that result that you've always wanted. So the next area of leverage would be through technology. So, I mean, people like Grant and leveraging his system to do some of your lead generation for you is a brilliant way to go. So what technology are you using? I'm talking about your CRM. I'm talking about your digital marketing. I'm talking about the automated process of once somebody enters your funnel, how do you consistently, through a systematic, leveraged approach through technology, communicate with that prospect to the point when they think real estate, they think you. And then finally, it's leveraged through people. And having the right talent on the team is, I think, probably one of the most critical elements of the whole process. So this one-page business plan is going to show you how to use leverage. It's going to show you how to build your organizational chart as well, and we'll get into it. So just below your expectation, and imagine you're typing this thing out in like a Word document. What you would do is after you outline your expectation for this year or next year, you'll then hit enter and you'll tab over once, right? And then you'll put in target number one. Now, again, a target is an interim expectation that is measurable, yet it's not grounded in a specific action. So if you're a real estate agent, and let's say your expectation is to close 100 transactions in 2018, and you've made the conscious decision that you want 60% of that business to be listings, target one would be close 60 listings. And again, out to the right side, we've got a couple of columns that say by who and by when. So if you've got a listing specialist on the team, of course, their name would go there, and by when would be by the end of the year. Then imagine you hit enter again, and this time you hit tab twice, and then you outline action one under target one. Now, an action, again, is a specific measurable task that somebody can do to complete the target. So we have multiple actions, and I would recommend, at least at a high level, to have three to, on the outside, five actions under each target. So then we'll go down to target two, and that would be the balance of the business. That would be to close 40 buyers. By who? If you got a talented buyer agent on your team, you'd put their name there. By when would be by the end of the year. Then we'll outline actions one, two, and three. And target three is all about operations. This is about leverage. This is about the models, the systems, the technology, and people required to complete the other two targets and ultimately the expectation. So I've got a completed example here. So if the expectation is close 100 transactions, target one is close 60 listings, target two is close 40 buyers, target three is all about your team, your tools, and your systems, then we're going to say, okay, based on your closing rate, and we've identified Bill, by the way, as our talented listing specialist, we say, go out and get 75 listing appointments, considering your conversion rate. And by the way, Bill, you're going to have to implement a lead follow-up plan. And I want that done by January 31st of this year. And then what tools, models, and systems, Bill, are required for you to accomplish the target? Then we're going to go to Jane, who's our buyer agent, close 40 buyers. We're going to say, okay, based on your goal of closing 40 buyers, you've got to sign 60 buyer agency contracts. Develop your lead follow-up plan and tell me the tools, models, and systems. And then we'll go to our operations manager. We've outlined John here under that target three. And action one would be to build the organizational chart to identify the tools required. And what is the marketing plan? Because marketing lives under operations. And maybe he's just going to call Grant and say, Grant, I want you to handle all this for me. And you guys can do that for him, right, Grant?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just set that aside for a second, because this is more the rainmaker or team leader or CEO type ETA. And then we'll go to Bill, who's our department head over listings. And we're going to have Bill build out his own ETA, yet we want alignment within these ETAs. So those of you who are watching, watch this. The target one becomes Bill's expectation. Actions one, two, and three become Bill's targets one, two, and three. And this is a top-down approach of leadership at first, yet it becomes bottom-up. You meet in the middle because Bill is going to then articulate the actions required to get 75 listing appointments. He's going to outline the actions around his lead follow-up plan, and he's also going to outline which tools, models, and systems. So Bill will have his own business plan that's in complete alignment with your own. And then we're going to do the same thing with Jane, our buyer's agent, and she's going to build out her own business plan. And then your operations manager, John, in this case, he'd build out his own business plan. So you end up with four business plans, all in complete alignment with one another. And there's no silos when it comes to this sort of thing. So let's set that aside for a second. And I'll ask the question, does your current organizational chart match your expectation or goal? So the typical org chart, right, that top circle in a hierarchy org chart, it has CEO in it or founder or president or something like that. Rather, let's take the E from the ETA and let's make that the top circle. And that's you, by the way. That's you in your own organization. You represent the expectation. You represent the vision. Your first direct report would be target one. This would be Bill, your lead listing specialist. Target two would be Jane, your lead buyer agent. And target three would be John, your operations manager. And then whatever happens beneath that line, well, the best part about Bill's job, for example, is that it's Bill's job. So Bill's then going to go out and hire the right people to his department to accomplish that target or his own personal expectation. Same thing with Jane and same thing with John. See, what this helps us do is eliminate the issues that most realtors find themselves in when they begin to build a team, and that is to build a very flat organizational chart. In fact, let me just digress real quick. I want to tell a quick story about a gal named Kelly that I met up in Dallas, Texas. I was getting ready to do a half-day workshop, And, you know, there's about 45 top producing agents in the audience. And it was about 15 minutes before I was actually going to take stage. And yet I see Kelly enter the room, and Kelly was the type of person you just couldn't help but notice this lady. I mean, you just noticed her because she just had this internal just drive, this grit, right? And she kind of stood out from the crowd. Well, she approaches me and says, you know what, Sean, I've heard great things about you, yet I don't think I can sit here for half of a day. So can you just give me the cliff notes real quick? Which is a really nice, polite way, Grant, of saying, I'm leaving if you suck, right? So,
yes, exactly.
So I got to know Kelly a little bit, and I found out, you know, Kelly had 16 people on her team. I found out that she is a top producer. She wins award after award after award. I learned that she was closing, that year she was anticipating closing around $83 million in total sales volume, which isn't terrible, right? And I also learned that she was completely and utterly miserable. I learned that she had a 7-year-old son that she wanted to spend a lot more time with, her and both her husband. I learned that she hadn't been on a vacation for 3 years. And she learned that she wanted to sit there for the full half day.
For the full day, there we go.
And what we got into was organizational structure. I learned that all 16 people on Kelly's team reported directly to her. She was working 70 to 75 hours per week, and this business had literally consumed her. Mm-hmm. So she not only sat through that program, that half day workshop, if you will, that mastermind session, she engaged Icon as her coach. Now this was back in 2016, or early 2017. Yes, early 2017, 2016, she ended up at $83 million. At the end of 2017, she ended up at $142 million. We got her down to 4 direct reports. She took 3 week-long vacations and shut her phone off, something she hadn't done for years. So guys, I want you to tune in because this stuff absolutely works. Now, as we go through this though, I want you to think about this word success. And what is your definition of that word? See, if you took the time and you had the time and you asked 1,000 different people what their definition of the word success is, you'd probably get around 1,000 different responses, maybe even 1,200, right, Grant?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an elusive word. It's hard to describe at times. So what I did is I just simply went to Webster's Dictionary. I looked up the word. I said, what's the definition? And it's really quite simple, guys. The definition of success is getting what you want, not what someone else wants, yet instinctively you recognize in order to be successful, you've got to know something, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. So I share that with you because I'm going to outline an organizational structure. I call it the Icon organizational chart of a high-producing team. And just recognize, you can be successful at any level of this evolution. What I am going to do is I'm going to articulate the whole thing for those of you who really want to go big, okay? Yet recognize you can stop anywhere. And here's what it looks like. So before you get overwhelmed and you see all those boxes on the organizational chart, I want you to recognize how simple this actually is. And I will tell you, most of you are just 2 key hires away from blowing your team up in a really positive way to increase your production, to increase your leverage, and increase your profits. So here's what it looks like, start to finish, right? So CEO, team leader, they find some traction. They recognize that you know, Pareto's principle is as true as the law of gravity, meaning 20% of your activities that you do in this business will yield a minimum of 80% of your results. And what they do immediately is they recognize that they've got to start delegating that 80% work. What I'm talking about is the work that has to be done, yet it doesn't necessarily move the needle for you or your organization. So it's a transaction manager is the first key hire. Next key hire would be a buyer agent. Most people who are smart recognize that the buy side of the business takes a heck of a lot more time and so many more things outside of your control. See, we recognize that in order to last in this business, we've got to list in this business. When you take a listing, you've got every realtor in your local board working for you. You can go sit on a beach and you're still gonna make money. So the smart person is gonna delegate the buy side of the business to a talented buyer agent. And that is the next key hire within your organization. Then from here, and this is the mistake that most people make, they want to expand that buyer team. They start spending money to get leads and all of that stuff. It's my belief that the magic really happens in the conversation. And I know that everything that Grant does in the digital marketing side of things is designed specifically to get you on the phone or face-to-face with that person. Am I right, Grant?
That's 100% correct.
Yeah. So I think the next key hire is an OSA. And my term of OSA means outbound sales associate, meaning they're making proactive outbound calls to expireds for sale by owners. They're doing circle prospecting. They're doing business to business prospecting, and they're not doing any lead follow-up. That's really for the buyer agent to handle. Now, let's agree that that OSA position is kind of hard to hire to and even harder to retain. I mean, who wants to be on the phone for 5 to 6 hours every day experiencing rejection? For most people, it's a pretty short road to burnout, right? So let's not fight with that. Let's just work with it, okay? Meaning that first OSA that you hire, ideally they're talent and we'll promote them to lead OSA. And we'll get them light at the end of the tunnel, meaning when you've generated 10 listings for our team, 10 signed listing contracts, I'm going to offer you an opportunity to be promoted to lead OSA. Now, at this point, their job description and their compensation model shifts dramatically. They're no longer lead generating for listings for the team. What they begin doing is lead generating for talent to join the OSA department. See, when we compensate somebody on their personal production, what do they focus on, Grant?
Themselves, their personal business, nothing else.
That's exactly right. And yet when we compensate individuals based on the production of others, what do they then focus on?
The production of others.
Mm-hmm. And they want to get more others to be compensated from, correct?
Correct.
So if this person's smart, they'll turn into a recruiting machine. Part of their job responsibilities would also be to train these people, establish accountability protocol and structure, and hold them accountable to getting to that 10 listing mark, at which time they'll have another opportunity on the team, and I'll explain that in a moment. Yet now that you've gotten 10 listing contracts from your now lead OSA, I believe it's time to hire that listings manager, somebody who's going to babysit and handhold every one of your sellers. They're going to put together your brochures. They're going to put the properties on MLS. They're even going to deliver the signs and lockboxes at first, right? So they're going to take that off of your plate. At this phase, you're still going on all these listing appointments. So be prepared for that. Now, here is where it gets really exciting. See, because when that OSA has developed 10 listings, signed contracts for your team, they have an opportunity to be promoted to showing partner / ISA. Now, ISA in my world means inbound sales associate. So they're doing all of the lead follow-up along with the buyer agent, right? And they're supporting that buyer agent, allowing the buyer agent to delegate the most time-consuming task of the buying process to a showing partner. So that showing partner is going to work side by side with the buyer agent, and all the while they're getting trained. So think about it. How much time are you investing at this stage in training your buyer agent team? Well, really zero, because your buyer agent is going to do that for them. So the showing partner buyer agents are going to be following up with all the leads, setting appointments for these buyers to come to the office. When they come to the office, that showing partner is going to shadow your buyer agent. They're going to watch them go through the initial counseling session. They're going to watch them prepare the buyer agency agreement and get it signed. And once it's signed, that showing partner is going to get them in the car and they're going to go until they find the home that the people want to buy. And then they're going to bring them back to the office. They're going to shadow the buyer agent again. And they're going to watch them prepare the contract, present the contract to the buyer, as well as the listing agent. And they're going to be part and parcel to the negotiations. And they're going to be a showing partner until they get 5 buyers under contract. And at which time you'll promote them to buyer agent. And you'll also promote your first buyer agent to lead buyer agent. Now again, that lead buyer agent, their job description and their compensation model shifts dramatically, because we'll compensate them based on the production of the buyer agent team. So they're going to partner with your lead OSA and they're going to be lead generating for talent. And this is where it really becomes a self-propelling model. It's like that electric car that charges its own batteries as it drives down the highway. And what I mean by that is, because your OSA has to get 10 signed listing contracts before they can be promoted to buyer or to showing partner, well, what they've really done is they've created an empty parking spot, a spot that needs to be filled. They've created the need for them to shift roles. Because when you get 10, 20, 30 signs out there, what happens to your phone? I mean, it starts blowing up with buyer leads, right? So now there's a necessity for them to transfer from OSA to showing partner to support that buyer agent. And then, of course, once they get 5 buyers under contract, they're promoted to buyer agent. By the way, I've got all the compensation models for every one of these positions on the team. And those compensation models are designed to motivate people to stay with your team, as well as keep expenses as low as possible and profits as high as possible. All right, so moving on. this is the time where we'll hire an EA for you, an executive assistant. They're going to babysit your email inbox for you. They're going to pick up your dry cleaning. They're going to bring you lunch. And they're really going to remove all distractions and allow you to focus on your 20% activities, which at this phase is really going on listing appointments and getting those listing contracts signed. And then finally, the day comes where we get a marketing coordinator who's going to make that happen. And then finally, a listing specialist. This is when you personally get to stop going on listing appointments. Isn't that exciting? Mm-hmm. And successfully leverage virtually every aspect of the real estate transaction through others. And then we really just focus on scaling your listing side of your business by adding listing specialists and then OSA to now floating showing partner and a whole team of buyer agents. And these numbers expand quickly. I'll show you how to compensate that lead buyer agent, that lead listing agent, and your lead OSA here real quick. And I call it the Icon Profits, Net Profits Interest Compensation Plan. So when you have that lead buyer agent, and those of you who can see this, you'll see that anything between $0 and whenever you hire them on, they're not going to get any bonus on. So let's just say that the buy side of your business net, and I love round numbers, $100,000 last year. When you hire this lead buyer agent, you say, listen, I'm not going to bonus you on anything we're already doing. I'm going to bonus you based on how much you can grow it. So that $100,000 becomes the floor. So if they made $99,999, unfortunately, they don't get a bonus. Yet any dollar above $100,000, you could say share, say 20% of anything net above $100,000 on the buy side of the business with your lead buyer agent. And let's say this person is talented, and over a period of 5 years, and by the way, we'll offer them vesting rights after 5 years. This is where the retention aspect comes in. Let's say they're talented and they grow it from $100,000 net to $1.1 million net, which I've helped many people get there. It's definitely not impossible. It's just about doing the right things at the right time. And let's just say they grow it to $1.1 million net. In addition to the commissions they earn, as well as the bonuses that they've gotten over the last 5 years, they say, okay, now I've grown it to 1.1 million. I'm tired. I'm burned out. I want to retire and I'm going to exercise my vesting rights, which means they're always going to get that 20% above 100,000 for as long as the buy side of your business remains profitable above 100,000. However, when they quit, what they've done is they put a ceiling on that bonus structure. So it's set at 1.1 million. It can't go any higher. And they have to identify their replacement. When they do that, we're going to offer them the same deal. You say, okay, we're going to give you 20% of anything net to the organization on the buy side of the business above 1.1 million. And we'll offer you vesting rights after 5 years. So in this case, what you've done is if you're netting 1.1 million, you retain 800,000 of the net profit between the floor and the ceiling. You retain the first 100,000, so you're netting 900,000. They get 200,000. And they're going to get that $200,000 bonus every year, no matter what they're doing, provided the buy side of the business is still profitable. So if their replacement begins to fail, Grant, what do you think their predecessor would do if it looks like rather than netting 1.1 million, it looks like they're going to net 800,000? What do you think they would do?
Maybe jump back in and fix something.
That's exactly right. So what you've done is you've created a layer of insulation to make sure you don't get sucked back into the buy side of your business, because now you're playing with that person's money. Heck, they might even come in, fire that person, because remember, they're not vested for 5 years, hire a new replacement, build it back up, and then again, choose to step out. So with this compensation model, you've encouraged, you've motivated people to act like owners. So because it's based on net, they're going to be focused on keeping expenses as low as possible and net profits as high as possible. They'll act like an owner, yet they don't have any stock or equity within your company. And you do the same thing with your lead OSA and your lead listing specialist. And again, it's all based on results. And I've done a lot of studies, Grant, around companies that give bonuses based on gross income. And ultimately, every one of those models failed. So rather, it's about basing bonus on net income. In addition to that, I've got compensation models for the admin side of the business as well. And that's more of a profit share system than it is net profits interest. So I'll tell you what, if you guys are interested in those compensation models, if you're interested in this organizational structure, you can just reach out to me. I'll be happy to jump on a free coaching call with you and walk you through it a little bit deeper.
That's awesome. This is incredible, incredible information, a very unique way to design comp plans to absolutely, like you just said, make people feel like owners without actually owning any interest in somebody's business. This is incredibly, incredibly valuable stuff. For those of you who can see this, obviously you saw how valuable that was. So those of you who are listening to this, I want to make sure that you, can we give them access to that presentation in some capacity? Maybe we upload it to the site or something like that. Or, you know, the best thing to do is actually just reach out to Sean, because I could almost guarantee that he'll give it to you and maybe even hand it to you one-on-one. If you're looking at this, like, I got to get something like this in place in my business. I need help. You know, I can relate to the stories, you know, heard earlier in the podcast. I cannot tell you how many people we've worked with that didn't have any marketing systems and they were their business. And when they stop, the business stops. And like we talked about, it's cyclical. So if you stop for a day, your business stops for three. If you stop for a week, your business stops for three. If you stop for 30 days, just forget about it. You got a few months before you're going to see anything come back, and you have to create systems in your business that work for you, because systems do not fail. People do. And I think that Sean is the perfect candidate to help you guys understand how to very systematically grow your business. And I know that, you know, we see it all the time in interactions with students and questions in groups is, what should I pay my buyer's agents? What should I pay my seller's agents? How should I structure their plans? And I think that was a beautiful, beautiful illustration of what somebody can do to really get the right people in their business and keep them vested in their business long-term. So that's awesome stuff, man. I appreciate you jumping on here and sharing some value.
Oh, my pleasure, Grant. That was my intention, buddy.
Good.
I'm happy to help.
If what's like the one place, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, to talk to you, to ask you, you know, more advice, get on a coaching call, like where's the best place somebody can get a hold of you?
Great question. Go to our website. It's iconcoachingre.com. The RE is for real estate.com. And they'll click on free business assessment. And, you know, I believe that prescription before diagnosis, well, that's malpractice, right? So I take you through a quick assessment. I get you to rate yourself and your business on 10 different points of business development, leadership, and productivity. And then based on those assessments, then I'll be able to share with you our methodologies to help you bridge those gaps effectively, quickly, based in proven best practices, not just some theoretical BS. You know, I mean, this is stuff that I've learned by doing the what we call the Icon of the Month webinar series. So every month I get to identify what I call an icon in the real estate industry. These are people that are closing, you know, like Mark Spain, he closed 3,100 transactions last year, like Greg Harrelson, who's doing 1,700 transactions. And you know, these are people that have figured it out. I get to fly out to their offices. I get to train their staff. I get to work with their staff. I get to interview their staff and find out what works and what were the missteps along the way. See, because the smart person, they're going to learn from their own mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. The smarter people will learn from the mistakes of others. And the smartest people of all, well, they learn from the successes of other people. And all of the methodology here is born in and based in those proven best practices.
That's awesome. That's perfect. You guys heard it, and we'll make sure that we link that up so that way you can check Sean out and you get that free business assessment. I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to interact with Sean in any way that you can. I don't have to tell you just how valuable I believe his knowledge and wisdom is. He has been around the block and has done some absolutely incredible things to date. I can only imagine what you've got in store, my man, with Icon Coaching and the business that you're building. So, man, I'm honored to have been able to get to talk to you, and I appreciate you for jumping on here. I hope that we get some people listening to this are able to connect with you and you can help, because I know that's your intention. Just like I wake up every day, it is my genuine intention to ensure that people never have to live through some of the stuff that I experienced, and I feel that same thing coming from you. So I hope that together we can help some more people.
I agree, Grant, and thank you, and I'm honored to be here with you. It's been my pleasure, and just let me know how I can help.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Hope you enjoyed. We will see you on the next episode of the Real Estate University Podcast. Thanks.